reading to you from the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and the 11th chapter and the 5th verse. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, now, the last sermon you got, last message, that I was going into surgery the 1st of October, well, let me tell you what happened. I absolutely got no peace about it, and I kept praying about it, and I just felt terrible. So I turned it down. Now, everybody turned against me. My family, everybody turned against me. I'm crazy. I'm insane. I'm nuts. I got news for you, friends. I believe in alternative medicines, too. I believe in doctors. But I know that God leads people to do things, and I felt very led of the Lord to start these alternative treatments. So I thank you, blessed people, for praying for me. Keep it up. Keep it up. Oh, I just love you for it. Be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. And we'll see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Hebrews, the 1st chapter, and let's begin reading with the 1st verse. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Oh, dear friends, this is the name of the message, How God Speaks. You know, people don't believe. Oh, I know you hear these guys on television will say, well, I was coming to the studio and God said to me, Jim, now you tell those people if they want their sins forgiven, if they want to be wealthy and healthy, they just have to send $1,000 seed offering and it'll all happen. Beloved, if you believe that, I've got some property I'd like to sell you over in Pocatello. It's not true, dear friends. It's not true. These men are false prophets, many of them. But here's what the old Puritan preacher's two questions were. Does God really speak? And what does he say? Well, many man, of course, certainly speaks. Most of what he says is not worth saying. How strange our endless chatter must sound to the angels. Dear friends, listen. I used to buy a paper when I was in business. And I'd get me a cup of coffee, and I'd get in at my desk, and I would read the paper. Friends, I won't even read the paper anymore. I get so disgusted with the lies that we're hearing from those who are in authority. It's just like doctors. Oh, friends, my doctor just tore me up when I decided I wouldn't be operated on. Now, friends, listen. That doctor is a good doctor, and he means well. He truly does. And he knows the danger of not taking out cancer. They know that. But at 82 years old, my friends, there's a tremendous danger of going into hospital, taking anesthetic. There's a lot of those things you got to consider. And I have sleep apnea, and I've got a bad heart or similarly. Anyway, that's where we stand today. But God does speak. And friends, today, he is still speaking. God spoke in the past by the prophets. Verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Well, God has not been silenced over these years. He has spoken by the prophets, and the Old Testament authenticates that. How God spoke to the prophets? Well, sometimes through angels, as to Abraham when he told him to go and take his son up and offer him as an offering. He spoke to him very plain. Sometimes God speaks directly as to Moses in the burning bush. Now here he'd been out there in that desert for 40 years just herding sheep thinking his life was all over, but his life just began. You know, I told someone the other day, I said, I'm only 82, but my stars in the morning, I don't feel I've finished the course yet. I've got so many things I feel that God wants me to do. So Moses was out there herding sheep, and he was 80-some years old. And then God said, please, Moses, I've got a little job for you, and I want you to go down. Oh, my stars, what a challenge to that old sheep herder. Man, he killed a guy down there. He didn't want to go back and face those guys. But friends, God went with him. Friends, listen to me. I don't know what God has asked you to do or what God has told you to do, but I'm here to tell you, do it. If he told you to do it, he'll go with you every step of the way. My wife and I, after I turned this operation down, we were sitting there talking. My wife was a little upset, of course, but she's standing with me 100%. But you know, we were talking about when I first started preaching, and oh my stars, how broke we were and how we had to walk by faith. We could never walk by sight. Many people today are trying to walk by sight, and it don't work. You're going to fall even you think you got it together. But let him lead you every step of the way. Seek his wisdom. Talk to him about it. Tell him what you want to do. You know, friends, God puts desires in your heart. My desire is to take the gospel around the world. No, I can't go. No, I can't go anymore. I'm too old. But I can sure send money and send people who can go. You bet your life. Sometimes God spoke to people through visions, as to Daniel. Read the 7th chapter of Daniel. But it's always by the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by God's Holy Spirit. The many prophecies fulfilled and being fulfilled even this very day. See, the greatest prophecy to be fulfilled is the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes back and takes those who believe in him to glory. Well, remember when they prophesied the birth of Christ? That's been many years before. They prophesied the death and the resurrection of Christ years before. It's all happened, beloved. For those of you who don't believe, I'm telling you, you better look in the Bible, because you're going to be shocked. And someday, we're going to get to stand before our wonderful Savior and thank him personally for loving us, for dying for us, for saving us, for calling us. Oh, dear friends, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, I pray you know him today. And if you don't know him today, when this broadcast is over, I'm going to extend an invitation that you can pray the sinner's prayer and you can repent of your sins and cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and the Lord Jesus will come into your heart and he will save you and he will write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and you already have your mansion paid for in full. Today, people struggling to get the down payment on that little dream house and the white picket fence and all that stuff, but that's just peanuts compared to what the Lord has prepared for you and I who know him. How about the prophecy about the return of Christ? It's coming. He hasn't come yet, but he is coming back. You can trust it. You can believe it. Prophecies about the kingdom of Christ is all here. Prophecies about the movement of nations and prophecies about the future of Israel. Oh, I pray our president and our government don't turn against Israel. Friends, they've taken God out of school. They've taken prayer out of school. Here in our state, they don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's under one nation, God. They don't want to do that. Well, aren't they going to be surprised when they found out there is a God, there is a heaven, and there's a hell? And when they're in hell, they will be reminded of the many times that Christians have witnessed to them, and they've heard sermons on radio, on TV. Oh, listen, God has spoken in these last days, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. You get God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I heard one of these healers the other day on TV said that Jesus would not come to earth until the Holy Spirit promised him he'd take care of him on this earth. Can you believe that blasphemer? Oh, friends. And then he spoke about the Holy Ghost. Only he was the most powerful. Listen, there is no God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're the same one. They're in one. They were together when they formed the world and made the stars and made you and me. Well, in these last days, it says in Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Some people think it's just because of their denomination, but it's wrong. It's for all people. But friends, listen to me. He is speaking to us now. God is not silent in any age. Listen, prophetic developments through which he is speaking. Now listen to this, what it says in Daniel 12:4. The knowledge explosion. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of a scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Friends, listen to me. I hate to tell you, but some of the godless people in the world are in our universities and colleges today. Godless. Right here, if you know what? You know why many people go to Stanford? For sex, for booze, for drugs. I know if you're a graduate of there, you're going to say, oh, Cecil, it's true. Right now in our colleges, after the ball games, they burn cars, they get drunk, they do this, they do. Oh, but they have knowledge. They're smart. They're going for their degrees. Listen, I'd rather be a moron than know Jesus than be a doctor and know nothing about him. Well, you say, well, what are we going to do? Well, have you noticed in Matthew 24:7, it says, nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famine on earth, earthquakes in various places. Beloved, let me ask you, are we not seeing that today? We sure are. Well, what more evidence do you want? There's signs in nature and in earthquakes. And you know something else? There's a moral decline in our country. Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Oh, my dear friends, San Francisco the other day, they had all those people out there. They were naked. They were having sex in the street. That's right, homosexuals. They were having a ball, lesbians. And they were just having a good time. I guess they've never read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Because if they had, it might have scared them. I've told a lot of homosexuals and lesbians, and honestly, friends, I don't look down my nose at them. Because God loves them. Christ died for them, same he died for you and me. But you see, they say as homosexual is of God. He made him that way. That's not true. God didn't make me an alcoholic. Cecil Moe made himself an alcoholic. Did I know what was going to happen when I took my first drink? No, absolutely I didn't. But boy, I found out later. They're trying to get people now to drink 2 or 3 glasses of wine to help them. Listen, you go ahead and drink that wine. I'm not going to drink it. I drank too much of it before. Why would I gamble? How do you know when you're going to cross the line? Well, I know a dear, one of my quartet's daughter-in-laws is a terrible alcoholic. Her husband is a commander in the Navy. He's a jet fighter pilot, and she'll call me drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning and cry, and I keep telling her, there's only one hope for you, dear lady. That's Jesus. I said, he delivered me, and he is no respecter of person. He will deliver you if you will truly repent. Godly sorrow. Turn your back on the old way life. Invite him into your heart. You will be delivered according to this Bible. Now, I know it's true because I did it. And the Lord forgave me, and the Lord wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. God saved me and changed me. Am I perfect? No, of course I'm not. Of course I'm not. But I'll tell you right now, beloved, I'm a whole heap better than I was back there 53 years ago. Technology is preparing for the Antichrist. Read the 13th chapter of Revelation. The return of the Jews to their homeland. Read Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Tells the whole story. God's prophetic plan is being fulfilled this very hour. What a time to be alive. Well, you know, when I first got saved in Seattle 52 years ago, I tell you, friends, I couldn't wait till Sunday. I couldn't wait to get there in that Sunday school class. And this old lay preacher, my, was he a son. He's like old Paul. He wasn't the smartest prophet in the world, but he sure knew Jesus. And he made me excited about living. He got me excited about witnessing and telling others. Oh, my dear friends, that's why there's so many unhappy Christians today, because they're not telling people about Christ. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just tell them, one day I was lost in sin, and I heard about this Jesus fella, and I went and found out it's true, and I gave him my heart. Look at Nicodemus. He'd heard testimony after testimony from Christians, and he couldn't quite understand what was going on, so he decided he'd go see Jesus out at night, I guess because he might have been afraid someone might see him. And he spoke of Jesus, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, Nicodemus wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't a whoremonger. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was wealthy. He was a very intelligent man. But his religion would not get him into heaven because he had not been born again. You might be going to a church that just preaches the storm, but they never tell you how to be saved. They never tell you that men is sinful above all things. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have and I have. Nobody's got around sin. But if you want to do something about it, Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everything we know is in Jesus. God has spoken to us through his Son. Do you want to know about God's grace? Well, study Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you want to know about God's love? Study Jesus. John 3:16. Do you want to know about God's power? Study Jesus. Do you want to know about wisdom? Study Jesus. Do you want to know about the future? Study Jesus. Friends, everything you need to know in this lifetime is in God's holy, unerring word. Anything you need to know. You got to get in there and scratch. Got in there and dig. And you need to go to a church that preaches Jesus. Oh, my dear friends, Christ himself, the Son of God, is God's message to the world, and we are God's messengers. Christ is the personal voice and eternal gift of God. Listen to me, friends. God is speaking to you about Jesus, putting away your sins. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Friends, I recall, for a year after I was saved, I could say I couldn't get to church enough. I read my Bible day and night. I called my pastor. I called deacons. I wanted to know this. I want to know that. Now, friends, I was on this roof in North Seattle, and I was just shingling. Oh, I used to love to shingle my, don't ask me why now, but I did. And it was just like a voice out of heaven, Cecil, stop. Listen to me. And right there I bowed my head and I said, God, what do you want for my life? And that little small voice said, I want you to preach the gospel. I almost jumped off the roof. Why would God call me a nobody, a zilch? Why would he call a man like me? Well, because God knew what I was. Now, I am, like I say, I'm not perfect, I'm not smart, but I know Jesus, and he knew that I would tell people about him, and I have. I truly have. I've led hundreds and hundreds of men and women to Christ through the in prisons, on the radio, on television. But let me ask you, what is your answer to him tonight? You see, Cecil, I am a Christian. I've been born again. But you know what? I don't know. God hasn't spoke to my heart about anything. Now, friends, God doesn't speak out loud. He speaks to your heart. Now, he did to Moses, and he does various ways. But it's whatever desire God has is what's going to happen. What does he want for your life? Are you fulfilling what God wants you to do on this earth? Are you committing spiritual suicide? Read John, the 15th chapter. He said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Go forth and bring forth fruit. Oh, my dear friends, I beg of you tonight, if you're a born-again person and yet you haven't been fulfilling all the things that God has called you to do, would you bow your head with me just right now? Oh, precious Lord, for that man, for that woman, for that child who knows in their heart what God wants for their life, but they have been rebellious. Father, break down the wall of excuses. Help them to surrender their lives all the way, lock, stock, and barrel. In the name of Jesus, amen. Friend, if you don't know Jesus tonight, I would urge you, if you feel it tugging at your heart, God's Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, he wants to come in and be with you. Now, all you have to do, if you're godly sorrowful for your sins, and you want to turn your back on the old way of life and invite him in, here's a prayer that can change your life. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done to you and to others. Dear Lord, tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, would you call 303-471-8534? I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I'm not asking you to leave your church. I'm not asking you for any money. All I want you to do is bring your sins to Jesus. I'd love to hear from you. If you don't understand what I was saying tonight, give me a call. I'll be glad to talk to you. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I do want to thank you for listening. Oh, dear friends, please pray for me and my wife and my quartet. We'll be in prison next Sunday morning. Oh, I tell you, what a joy. Oh, I just can't praise God enough for his love. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.